News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Linda's off today, but I have my co-host here, my guest co-host, Gary Hayward. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here again.
Yeah, general manager of the Wind River, resort and casino? Or
yes.
Casino and resort? Which one do you prefer?
We're resort casino now.
Resort casino now. Okay, yeah. We're going to talk about this because if you remember, Gary instituted a policy that was absolutely huge in the gaming industry in California.
Yes, the only one still.
The only one still. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Of course, I'm here with Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How are you today, Bad Bob?
Well,
you're here.
You'll find out very shortly. As far as the kind of day it is.
Oh, the kind of day it is. Okay. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hey, let's start off with our friends from our Wells Fargo Advisors, Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are starting out mixed as investors weigh in on corporate earnings this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 32 points, 17,080. The S&P 500 is positive a point at 1985, and the NASDAQ composite advancing 7 points at 4,463. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, Bank of America up a penny at 1553, Juniper Networks down $2.47, trading at 2235, EMC Corp positive 41 cents at 2893. For local stocks of interest, PG&E up 2 cents at 4718, PepsiCo up $3.69, trading at 9281, AT&T off 4 cents at 35.90. Treasuries are a little changed, with the 10-year Treasury note priced to yield 2.46%, and the 30-year bond is flat, yielding 3.25%. For commodities, gold is up $2 an ounce at 13.10, silver up a penny at 21, and crude oil positive 29 cents, trading at $102 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Susan, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 7:06, 8:06, and 9:06 in the morning. If you're looking for that path for financial freedom and you haven't won the lotto this year, you might want to go down and talk to our friends at Wells Fargo Advisors that can help you with your annuities and investments. They're keeping track of everything that's happening at Wall Street, and they do this for a living. They're your neighbors. They want you to succeed. Give them a call, 243-7561, and then stop by their offices on Park Marina Drive. Wells Fargo Advisors. Weather today, Bad Bob.
First, the word of the day.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Leslie,
guess what today is?
It's hump day.
It's hump day. Yes, yay. It's hump day today.
And this hump day will be sunny with a high near 90 degrees, low tonight around 66, sunny and hot tomorrow, high in the mid-90s, and that's going to continue throughout the rest of the week as we nudge around the triple digits. Nothing quite as bad as what we had last week. Right now in Reading, it is 63 degrees, and this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Senior and veterans discounts, 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane.
All right. Good morning, everybody. A lot of things happening. Gary, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know what? We had a good time last time. Was there some? I heard the phone ring in there. Bad Bob. Did we lose them?
They went away.
Oh, okay.
Tried to answer it, and they apparently changed their mind.
Well, you know, 3 years ago, and we had we looked at our tree, and we had this beautiful silver maple tree. It's probably maybe 70 years old, you know, who knows how long, how big, but it's a huge tree.
Wow.
And it's been trimmed back and cut and butchered, you know, over the years by people. And we looked at it, and we brought out one group, and they said, oh, you need to tear this down right now, cut it down. Well, we brought this other guy in, and he's really good. And Terrence comes out and he looks at it. He says, no, he says, you're going to be able to keep this tree another 10 years easily, maybe 15. So we've enjoyed this tree for the last 3 years. And then we've noticed some things about it. You know, some of the leaves have gone dead. We called him out again, and he said, there's this fungus that's in the ground around here that attacks these trees. And he says, the tree's not going to make it. And I said, well, you know, he noticed it, and I cut it off. I just thought it was like mushrooms and stuff, but it's not. This gets into the root system. So the reason I'm saying this is we're going to have to take down this tree. And frankly, it bothers me more because I was sitting out there watching it last night, and it bothers me more than it's kind of like losing an uncle, you know, twice removed.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, is this strange?
I totally know feeling.
It's not like losing people, your buddies in combat or you know, family, close family. But, I mean, it's like this is kind of touching me.
Oh, totally. And I had a similar experience. Right in front of the resort, we had a tree that my grandfather planted back in the 50s. And we went through the similar experience. And when it went away, finally didn't make it. It was a bummer. We were really bummed out.
Yeah, I mean,
and I still miss not seeing it when I drive in every day.
Well, you know, good. I'm glad to see that because you're a tough guy, and I just kind of am glad that it's not just me. I mean, Linda says, she says, this is bothering you. And I went, she says, of all the things that have happened around and these, you know, all this, she says, it's kind of bothering you. I said,
because it's a constant in a world of change.
Well, maybe that's it. It's, you know, it's a, you know, it was a stable thing. And yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like we got, it's kind of raggedy, you know, but it was still there. So right. Now we got to figure out what to put in there after it's gone. So he gave us an idea and we're going to probably, he said, in another 10 years, you'll have a real nice canopy. And I'm thinking 10 years.
Right.
10 years. I mean, we're not talking to you or Maria. We're talking to Carl here. You know, I haven't lived anywhere longer than, this is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. We plan on staying. So, anyway, hey, thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. This is awesome. I was glad to have another chance to come and visit with you and talk to the North State. And it's just a lot of fun. You make it look easy. But I'm always thinking about the night before. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? And then I thought today, I'm just going to relax.
Just let it go. Yeah. Let it go with the flow. One of the things I want to talk about, and Bob, let's take an early break. I'm going to come back and talk about you all a little bit, because you instituted a policy of non-smoking that is, as you just said, is the only one in any of the gaming casinos in the state.
Yes.
And I want to talk about how that's worked.
Awesome.
And the results of that. I mean, I was taking a pretty big gamble right there.
It was pretty big.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, today also, if you looked at the front page of the paper, it was big on crime. And they talked about this 1,000 people, maybe 2,000 people going to show for Rob Pelletti's town hall meeting on the 30th. But Rob Pelletti is going to be here right now. I mean, at 8 o'clock. He'll be here to talk about this meeting, but also about crime in the city. And frankly, I think that people need to, you know, the statistics they put on the front page, we need to talk about those. They're very important. And then there's a letter in the paper, which was also very important about crime and transients and such. So we'll be right back. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward, we're here and we'll be with you till 9 o'clock this morning. We'll be right back.
Crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's off today, but I got Gary Hayward, who is the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Orchard Nutrition, largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. Of course, located in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. It's your center for a healthy lifestyle. An in-store deli, four nutritionists on the staff to help you, classes in the evening. If they don't have it for your health, then you probably don't want to eat it or put it in your mouth. You walk in there and you just feel healthier going into Orchard Nutrition. And Joe and his people out there, just really super people. Give them a call at 244-9141. Let's talk a little bit about Wind River and your experience, that you did this. Did everybody get together and did you have to sell this program?
Oh yeah. It was several years of research and working with a couple different
organizations. This just wasn't a whim that one day you're lifting weights and go, hey, let's just head out smoking.
Oh, no. In fact, in fact, I wasn't a big supporter at first because I was under the impression that smoking and gambling went hand in hand. And if you didn't have both together, it wasn't going to work. And, of course, business-wise, I wasn't even considering it. And then I had a friend of mine call me and say, hey, we're doing some research. Would you like to be a part of it with the county and a state agency? And I said, sure. I said, let's look at it. And we started doing some surveys. We started doing some measuring of the smoke that was impacting our staff and the public. And next thing you know, it just was staring us right in the face. The decision was we need to really do this, you know. And it helped that the county went non-smoking in 94. Initially in restaurants, 96 in bars.
Yeah,
a lot of research out there to show what those impacts were, and at the end of the day, it made not just good health sense, but good business sense because less than 10% of our customer was smoking.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So obviously you did studies on that too.
Oh yeah,
I guess if 50% were, you might have had a different idea.
Well, you would have thought it was more because the smoke was so intrusive. I mean, but that gave me another picture of how much smoke can do, the secondhand smoke, because only 9 to 10% of our customers at our busiest time were smoking, but it felt like 50% plus mm-hmm. were smoking.
Okay,
and you know,
because I would have thought the same thing, just anecdotal, you know. And you go into places that it seems like more would be.
Oh yeah, now it's a whole different picture for me. You know, and it wasn't to try to stop smoking and tell people to quit smoking and all that. It had nothing to do with that.
It was no, because just, you save their spots for them if they want to smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got places out there for people to smoke. You're not into a anti-smoking campaign at all.
No,
none at all.
That's their choice. That's their freedom to do what they want
there you
to do.
Go. And, I like that. You know if it is your choice. And for people to, I don't know. It's the same people that just want to step on you on everything. They want control.
I don't like telling people what they should or shouldn't do. That's their choice. But for us, it's good for everybody. I mean, we didn't tell them they couldn't. We provided space for them to go. And what's nice is the smokers and non-smokers alike are supporting the
policy. So you're getting good feedback on this then?
Yes. In fact, I'm getting good feedback from smokers who are cutting back, who are trying to quit because they want to, not because we made them. And it's kind of interesting to see the change that it's had on those guys, too. So it's been really positive.
You know, it's funny. I remember my dad was getting a triple bypass years and years and years ago. I was one of the nurses said, one of the doctors said was, yeah, our patients that smoke get up a lot quicker than those who don't smoke. I said, really? And he goes, oh, yeah, they get up. Because they want to go have a cigarette.
So
they're up moving a lot faster.
Said, oh, yeah.
So it's a good byproduct then. He goes, yeah, of course, he was smoking a cigarette when he was telling me about it. So maybe that was it. But anyway, okay. Now, you're starting to get phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We're getting calls from other properties now. And they're starting to ask us, how's it going? Of course, we're 3 months into it. The first month, pretty flat. Second month, we started seeing growth. And we're seeing a lot of new faces, and we're seeing the initial people who took a step back and said, I don't know how I feel about this or I don't agree with this. They're back, and they're back full bore, and now we're seeing new people. And our hotel, just to throw it out there, has just hit about a 90% occupancy this month. So we started out January at about 36%, and we're
but you
got
to expect, from what I understand, because I'm listening to the Turtle Bay battle go on here, and they said they're going to have a 75%, 78%, and they said that is huge.
Oh, yeah.
A 78%, and they figured it's going to take them a couple years to build it.
Sure.
But you started in January, and we're only talking, this January, and now we're 7 months later, and you're up at 90?
Yeah, and summer used to be our downtime. Summer's becoming our uptime now.
So who's staying at the hotel? If I can ask,
it's interesting. You would think the majority would have came from the Bay Area because it seems like that's close. Well, guess what? They're coming as far as Portland down, and the majority of our new guests that are staying are coming from Oregon. They're coming down from Oregon to stay
for a weekend.
For a weekend, they're coming during the week for events.
They can do other
things lake,
too.
And they're coming for the rivers. The lake. They're coming for the North State, and our new commercial, if anybody sees it, is all about the North State. And we want them to stay with us. But it's all about what we have here, the awesome rivers, lakes.
You know what? You're right. You know what? And I am so happy to hear that for you. I mean, that you're at 90%. But see, you all are just part of this, I think, a synergism that can happen in this city.
Totally.
That when people – we have 80,000 cars go by those exits every day, 80,000 cars. And why can't this be a place where people come and they stay, and they stay at your place, and they'll stay at the New Turtle Bay, and they stay at our other hotels that are here.
Yep.
And you've got the museum and a couple other things they're planning on down there. You've got you all, and they can go on out to, Whiskey Town and Mount Shasta and come back down or Shasta Lake. All these things you can do on the hiking and all around here and then stay here. And then you offer – you're offering other things too. You all – besides the casino, you're expanding out and other things.
Right. And I really look at the Turtle Bay project as being a good thing for everybody. To me, when you have something like that come in, it's going to bring more people here. When more people come, the community is going to benefit. All the hotels are going to benefit. All the properties.
Well, that's good. I want to talk to you about that, Gary. I mean, you're a businessman. Obviously, you all are successful, and you don't do anything without – looking at it.
Sure.
So having the hotel at Turtle Bay, you don't see it as a competitor-like thing?
No, I see it as actually, you know what happens when you have a product like that come in? You pick up your game. If you're a good business person or good business, you're going to pick your game up and you're going to do much better because that competition is good for people. And I look at it as an addition to the community, also. It's going to bring people in. And if it does really, really good, guess what? The overflow goes to everybody else.
And I've talked to Mike Warren, and I've talked to some other people about plans for down there at Turtle Bay. I mean, people talk, oh, they're going to build high rises. No, that's not what they're planning. they're planning. You know, we're going to have Mike Warren on here next week, but we'll talk about it then. But in fact, next Monday. But it's going to be something that can enhance our community.
Totally
enhance the community, which then enhances everybody else. You all have taken a lead in this. I mean, you've pushed out. You got 90% on it. That's phenomenal.
I would love to maintain that, but I'm sure it's summertime.
Well, it's summertime. You know, but you know what you're going to do then is then you find other things. You're going to find other ways, say, you know, for weekends, special weekends for people to come or,
right.
You know, things like that.
And okay. It's pushing us to get creative with that.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that Wind River's doing it because, frankly, when you all do well, the whole community does well. I mean, it does. I mean, when you all have done so much for the community, and sometimes people forget that.
Well, and it's a part of our vision is to be a part of this community and play a part any way we can. So we're going to continue to do that as long as we can.
Do you have silver dollars there?
No. In fact, there is no coin anymore. Coin is kind of dead across the board.
I kind of miss that, you know. Does it still make the sound of like – does it make that sound like what's coming in?
We have the fake
coin
deal. Yeah, that makes it sound like the coins are dropping.
I make no comment on that.
You know, that's kind of – I know. I mean, it's kind of like, oh, well, you don't need to read that paper in the morning. You got it right here on your computer or you don't need to – you know, I'm kind of like – in the rifles that aim themselves, have you seen, I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new scopes that,
crazy.
It does everything for you and you just have to push a button and it does everything. And you don't have to do anything except just put your eye against the scope. And you spend $6,000 or $10,000 for these scopes. I mean, it figures everything out and then you pull the trigger. I mean, it's kind of like, why don't you just go to the zoo and shoot the
deer?
Might
as well just get a video game.
I don't know.
That's
it's like that.
What it's becoming.
It is, you know, technology. Anyway, okay. Let's change the subject here a little bit. We've got guests coming at 7:30 and, of course, Rob at 8. The Bully Fire is 97% contained, $20 million.
Wow, it's up to $20 million.
$20 million. I think they had 2,500 firefighters there at the top of the fight. Over 12,661 acres. I don't know how you measure 661 acres, frankly, but 12,000 I could understand. And then let's see what else. What is it? 60 buildings destroyed. And worst of all, that man that was
a
killed.
Victim.
Yeah,
the
that was
victim.
Horrible.
All started by a guy,
by a fool,
driving across a field full of dry grass so he could put fertilizer on his illegal marijuana plot.
Yeah, what a crazy thing. The name got me.
Mr. Smoke the Third.
Yes, Freddie Smoke the Third. How does that work out?
Well,
right?
The thing is, do they know where he's at? Because they're saying, hey, we're going to put some more charges on this guy. But he posted a $10,000 bail. $10,000 bail.
Yeah.
Probably Dolores Lucero had a higher bail than that.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like $10,000 and boom, he's gone.
Well, he had to come up with $1,000, right? Because 10% is all you have to
do. He probably had
a
wad of cash on him,
they got him out.
Yeah.
He's gone.
You know, Freddie is delivering fertilizer someplace in Colorado right now.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. It is. It is terrible. I mean, we spent all that money. Let me see what else. Sutter County votes to leave the state. 5-0.
And what were you saying? Is that
that's like number five or six? Right. You know what? I know y'all are out there listening. Just give me a call after our next guest, say around 7:45, and any of the people out there that've been working on this. I know there's a few of you out there listening.
I'm sure that Terry or Sally.
Yeah, Terry or Sally. Give me a call at 7:45 after our last guest, and let's talk about Sutter County. I mean, I got this. I got a message last night that, and I just saw it in the papers, 5-0. But that's like the fourth or fifth county. Plus, they've been invited to 19 other counties in the state. Invited by 19 other counties to come down and give presentations. They give a presentation. They have these studies that have been done economically. And people say, well, how can you do this? How can you do this? And they have these studies that have been done. The only county that hasn't had the presentation has been our county.
They were too busy with geoengineering.
Geoengineering. Yeah. Chemtrails. But Les Ball is going to be on our show on August 8th. And he's agreed to come on. And that's one of the subjects we're going to talk about. He is the head of the board. So we're going to be talking about that when he's on, plus crime and all these other things that are going on in our town. But we'll be right back, Gary Hayward and myself. This is KCNR 14-6. You know, if it's not happening here, it's probably not happening. We'll be right back.
Dancing in the aisles this Friday and Saturday at Kids Unlimited Music and Dance Extravaganza at the Reading Civic. Waterworks Park invites you to support the talent of our local youth as they sing, dance, and act their way into your heart with music from some of your favorite animated movies. You'll think you're attending Broadway's smash hit of the season. Kids Unlimited. You've never seen anything like it. Kids Unlimited, changing our local children's lives in Reading for years to come. Tickets on sale starting at only $7 now at ReadingCivic.com.
Pre-planning your funeral or cremation will give you and your family peace of mind. Pre-planning guarantees that your wishes will be carried out. Prepaid plans locks in today's prices and gives you full control. Don't let your loved ones face confusing choices and high costs. Call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 and let us assist in making life's challenges easier. For a consultation, call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 or visit blairscremation.com.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the junior livestock sale. Meantime, back at the salt mine, we're filling propane bottles, one right after another. That keeps Gary hopping. Robin in Corning is very busy with all the farmers and ranchers, so stop in and say hi. She loves our customers. In Weaverville, stop and see Diana. She is selling a lot of red and clear diesel and can fill your motorhomes and barbecue bottles. In Reading, we got another truckload of ethanol-free 93 and race car fuel. If you're one of us that's been blessed with new diesel trucks or pickups that take DEF urea fluid, give us a call. We have small jugs and big totes and can save you money. Johnny's back from cattle college, so if you're thinking of upgrading your heater, now's the time. Give him a call and talk about the new or used heater. Northern Lights Energy, small business, family owned. 241-21-96. Thanks a lot.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, sell it, call it, find it, view it, go it, jam it, lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch it, fade it, paint it, print it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, print it, play it, watch it, technologic, one more time.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. All right, Bad Bomb. How you doing?
Love these guys. Pentatonix.
Yeah. Hey, it's July the 23rd, 7:34 in the morning, 68 degrees out there. Carl and DeBott. Linda is on the move today, but Gary Hayward, who's general manager of Wind River Resort and Casino, is here with me. Gary,
good morning.
You know, our guest at 7:30 for some reason has slid through here, or not slid through here so quick, or has can't find a place. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this, plus a few other things we've got going on here. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. And frankly, Leonard does some really great work. He has a state jewelry that is just outstanding, a selection of that. They have the only trained watch repairman here in the whole area, is right at Four Winds Jewelry. Leonard always gives great deals. He has contacts back in Israel and other parts of the world that can get him jewelry and loose stones at very, very good prices. That's Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Give him a call at 222-2750. He's right across the street from Sierra Gibbs. Okay, Gary, you know, one of the things we talked about was, you know, some other things going on too. One of, you know, of course, is the donation that you all just made.
Oh, yeah.
For $250,000.
Yeah, it's, oh, to the Sierra for the One Safe Place.
One Safe Place.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's big.
That was awesome. And I was so proud of the Tribal Council for supporting that, mm-hmm. that request, because that's huge. As we know, in the North State, when you see some of the statistics and things that have came up, One Safe Place is essential for this community. So I was super proud to see that happen.
Yeah, you know, it's good. You know what the fact is we've got two organizations here that help people they've gotten some help from grants and from our local community. Of course, One Safe Place, Good News Rescue Mission also.
Yes,
and the two proven places that work.
Oh yeah,
and but you got something else going on too. I mean, you've got a bunch of people. I mean, a bunch of acts coming in here over the summer. That I mean, you all are really stepping it up.
We brought the concerts back. They're kind of coming in this little slower, but we're gonna start picking it up here in August. We've got Winona coming. She's selling like hotcakes. It's going fast. So if you want your tickets, you got to get them. That's going to be August 26th. And then we've got September 4th. We got Foreigner. Foreigner's a big one, and it's wow. going too. It's going
yeah.
fast.
We put find some Foreigner stuff to play, Bob, when we come back, okay? And Winona,
she's awesome, and she's going to be great. The cool thing about Foreigner, so the community knows, the schools. There's a little contest going on with the school choirs. They put in a video of them singing a Foreigner song. If they get chosen, they get to be the opening act for Foreigner that night. So
is that great?
Cool. Oh, it's awesome.
Is that great?
That,
or what?
That was part of their contract that they required us to put in there. They required it. Yes.
So wow. Wow.
Pretty huge.
Somebody told me that one of the members of Foreigner is he a resident around here? Is that true or
that's
not?
That's what I've heard too, but I haven't verified that.
I need to find out, because somebody told me that this guy is just. I mean, he's low key. He's got a little studio here.
I think it's true. I just haven't verified.
That's what I heard. I think it is, and you know, of course,
we have a lot of artists kind of hiding in the hills who are of national note.
Yeah, but there's a studio around here some places. He supposedly that he owns a small sound. You know, right. Sounds anyway. Okay, what else you got coming up?
We got really huge tomorrow. We have it's called the Local Community Business Foundation. It's LCBC. Community Foundation, or community, whatever. Sorry, anyways, long story short.
I know. You're just like me. I'm going, this is the Downtown Reading Business something, and doing business with the state is the DVRBE. What's that mean?
I used to be the acronym king in the military. That was one of my first jobs. I had to put a booklet together of all the acronyms we had at the base at my shop.
Oh, good luck.
But I'm not into that anymore. So, but tomorrow we're going to be giving away, it's to all the – mostly safety, the police departments, the fire, all those guys. We're giving away some funds tomorrow back to them to help support them in what they do. So that's going to be happening tomorrow about 1 o'clock.
Great.
And I think it's around $200,000 to $300,000.
Oh my gosh!
And what's cool about that
is this is going back to like the police departments and the fire departments,
the DAs, the county, the city, and all the people who could be impacted by what we have at our establishment. It's going back to help us and help them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. We do it every year. And the nice thing is it's money that we give to the state, and then we solicited back from the state for our community. So we actually got it back from the state to give back to our community who supports us and who we support. So it's really cool.
You know, you all do a lot. I mean, and I've said this from a long time, and you all know that. And but every year it seems like there's something new. I mean, this is something that's been going on, but I think it gets out there more. And we need to know, you know, those kind of things. I mean, you're a part of our community, and it's not just a part that is here to say, okay, give me your money.
Right.
You don't do that. I mean, your business, and of course a business needs to make a profit because that's what we're about.
Right.
You know, but it's also giving back to our community. And I know you and Maria, and, I mean, Dancing with the Stars. I mean, all of that, everything that you and Maria's done, and then what you all do out there is huge. And I appreciate it, and I know everybody else does too. They don't, you know, you're not a. There's some groups out there. You know, you keep wanting to milk the cow. Does that make sense?
I want to milk this cow. Oh, yeah.
But see, you're not like that. You're kind of like in the family. You're like that person that's done well in the family, but wants the whole family to do well.
That's how we look at it.
But that's what kind of way I look at it.
And that's how it's been tough. People haven't heard about it because it's not our nature to talk about it. Man, what's great about it is a lot of the people we do support and have been a part of their process wants to talk about it, and it's made it easier for the tribe because we don't do that. We don't normally.
Yeah.
That wasn't why we were doing it, so that people would really know. We were doing it because we felt like it was something we should do, you know, to play a part in our community.
That's good.
It's been awesome.
That's the way it should be. Okay. Let's talk about a couple other things here. You know, that they're talking about global warming. Well, one of the things that global warming is caused by is cows emitting gas. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
That's one of the major.
I have heard that.
That's one of the major.
Methane.
Methane. Because
yes.
Cows eat grass. They ruminate it and then they release gas from burping and other gaseous exchanges. A new study's come out. Do you raise cattle? Do you have cattle?
No, I don't.
I know a lot of people got their, you know, they raise. Their pet goats and all this, the kids do.
Growing
up,
we always had a cow and some pigs.
Well, they've done these studies from this national. I hate developed countries. One of those organizations, cattle raising harms the planet. It uses more land, water, and natural resources, and releases more gases than poultry, pork, and eggs, maybe combined. Developing nations are now raising cattle, and because of their need for protein, of course. So they're using cattle because all their like wild game is going away and all this. So they're raising cattle. Well, the gas emissions have risen like 62% since 1961. So all this gas up there, all this methane that's being released out there. But and so when they're talking about, well, eat less beef and let's go out and have pork, let's have eggs. But in the United States, the emissions have dropped 23%.
I would also point out that Mount Pinatubo released more methane in 3 days than we have created in the last 30 years.
Thank you. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, when I start seeing these things, you know, and of course the volcano goes off and that's it. But I heard somebody say years ago that said, you know what? You want to solve the global warming? Kill all the cattle. And I thought that's a little drastic. I mean, you might have a little war going on in India there.
Well, and Carl, when we hear these numbers, what are they comparing this to? What, you know, like we just talked about, the volcano. Okay, so what is that in the bigger picture? What does that have impact wise?
I think what they're saying is that where the United States is using more sophisticated methods of raising cattle, so that the emissions that we have is dropping. Where the new countries, they're just pouring cattle or pouring into, they're raising them under whatever the conditions they are. But frankly, I think everybody knows that. And if we have to change society, you know, drastically, do we want to get rid of beef?
Not me.
Not me. No, not me. You know, but see, this is okay. And here's what worries me about this. Here's that first shot that goes out there.
Sure.
The first shot. And it's kind of like, oh, gee, you know, well, maybe you people, you know, look how much water they're using here on for this cow. So maybe you shouldn't be raising cows. Maybe you should raise goats or change your land into so you raise pigs. You know, see, it's to me, when I start seeing this, it's going to, then you use this
to achieve another.
Sure.
To achieve another goal.
Makes total
sense. It's not, the goal is not to, oh, look at all this methane gas that's all there. I think a lot of times people find studies that they can use. I mean, I know you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Although you studies about, if you have a casino, the whole community falls apart.
Oh, and you know what's interesting about that? That was the big push when we opened. And the funny thing is we looked at the rates, and the crime rates went down the first 5 or 6 years we were open. You know,
well, they had a place to hang out. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And then
you consolidated them all in one spot. Yeah, then you cleaned it out. We gathered them up, softly, catchy monkey. Come on in here, and then boom,
And that is not the place the bad guys want to go. Don't go there because we're watching you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's true. You probably got a better watch system than other places. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward. We're talking about what's going on around here. 8 o'clock. Chief Rob Paletti is going to come on, and we're going to talk about crime because we're talking about crime. Now, and I'm going to talk to you about it out there because you have got, it seems like, a target-rich environment out there.
Sure.
From people, and then talk about a couple other things that are going on here. You know, one thing that really bothers me is that the United States just put Israel off limits for airline flights. They banned all flights into Israel.
I just saw that, and I had a niece who was supposed to be flying out this week.
Well, you know, the reason
– next week.
I think the reason it bothers me the most is that now you've just handed a win – to the terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
That are shooting rockets into around in this general area. Hey, guess what? We're changing the United States is not going to fly in there because of, you know, of, well, you know, you say you think there's a danger there, but the Israelis are saying they're not hitting anywhere near Ben Gurion.
It's got to be the safest airport in the world right now.
Well, yeah.
I mean, one of them.
Well, you know, as far as getting on the planes and all that. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl, Linda Bott. Linda, of course, is on the road today. And Gary and I will be back in a minute.
Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with NorCal Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse, reminding you that in accordance with California state law, if you currently live with a person who is prohibited from possessing firearms due to state or federal law or mental incompetence, you must lock those firearms up to deny access, or you yourself can be charged with a crime. Call NorCal Firearms Instruction today for your CCW and CCW renewal training, 999-1822, or visit us at readingccw.com to read our reviews or register for a class. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the range.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m. right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Ladies, if you have an event this summer and want something new and fresh to wear, go to the Frugal Dame, located at 3304A Bocelli Lane, or call Lori for an appointment at 999-3020. The Frugal Dame offers dress rentals for any shape, size, or event. Men can rent a unique Western tuxedo for those outside events. Call the Frugal Dame. That's 999-3020. The Frugal Dame, where you can look like $1 million for just a few bucks.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward here is general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino. This is my co-host today. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur right here in Reading. Of course, John Bastiani prides himself on service, customer service, and always having what the customer needs in stocks, whether it's ammo or guns, whether they're long guns or pistols or revolvers. All of it's there, and they work on the guns themselves. I mean, great gunsmithing work down there. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Give them a call at 222-8222. Also, John has taken it upon himself that those two people that were mugged by the one guy in the wheelchair walking his dog that got attacked by four thugs, John has offered them a free class on concealed carry and a free gun.
Nice.
To protect themselves, so he can go out at night and actually walk his little dog.
Wow.
So, if you want to help out with that, just give him a call. Stop by. See John Bastiani. It's a good thing he's doing down there. 2539 Larkspur. Okay. As we talked a little bit earlier about what's happening, that Sutter County voted 5-0 to support a split from the state of California for the state of Jefferson. Terry Raposa is calling in today to talk about that. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. So tell us what happened yesterday.
Okay, well, yesterday the Board of Supervisors in Sutter County, including James Gallagher and Mr. Cleveland Whitaker, great guys. I mean, that's the odd thing. We're finding that we're making friends with these supervisors. It's been great. They voted 5-0 in favor of a declaration. That's county number 6. And if I have a minute and a half, I can update you.
I've got you for like another 5-6 minutes here, buddy.
Okay, well, then I can give you this really quick. Tomorrow, we will be in Chester for a first look for Plumas County. On the 30th in July, we're going to set up a committee and going for a first look, which includes one of the supervisors in Colusa County. On August the 2nd and 3rd, we have a meet and greet Saturday night. Sunday, we have an event at a park in Penn Valley that will have a stage, food, all kinds of stuff for folks in Nevada City. In Humboldt, two of our young people who are not related, 127, a gentleman, and a young lady, Liz Bradley, who was the person who did our very, very first town hall, is doing a town hall in front of the Veterans Memorial Hall right there in Eureka. They're doing a barbecue out in front with a fair on the 16th and the 17th. We're having a town hall in Gray Eagle and Plumas. On August the 23rd, a first look, 24th, a huge town hall. September the 6th, we're going to be with Paul Preston down in Yuba. And by the way, we've been working with Paul Preston. We've been talking with him a couple of times a day, Sally and I. There's going to be a 9-city event, including San Diego and San Francisco, in which he will have Paul Dacus, Clive and Bundy, himself, several other people, Mark Baird, the people from the Eagle Forum, people from Common Core. We're putting together a complete seminar that people can go to. The first one will be here on August the 30th at Wind River at 9 o'clock, and more details will follow on that.
And then, yeah, I was going to say that the first one I know he's having here, 14, I think he's got like 12 speakers. I saw the list yesterday. An all-day affair, including lunch right there at Wind River.
Awesome.
Yes, it's going to be great. And then September, 16th, we have Roseville, a town hall, and the 17th, we have Lincoln, a town hall. It goes on and on. But the thing that's interesting is all these counties have invited us for presentations. Our county won't even talk to us. It's the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life.
Well, Terry, I think you exaggerate. They talked to you. They said they didn't want to hear. they said they didn't want to hear anymore. Is what happened. By the way, Les Baugh, supervisor, heads up the county board of supervisors. Will be our guest on August 8th.
Well, that's going to be interesting because I don't know. It's going to be. I know that he is asked to even look at his own videos. We talked to people yesterday. We have texts from him talking about a presentation which he claimed to me that basically he had never heard of, the 88-page report in which he wanted, which he wouldn't read, telling people virtually that he would put the state of Jefferson on the ballot and then doing what he did. I mean, I really, Pastor Baugh seems to have some issues with you know, with what he says and what he does.
Well, he's going to have a chance to be on and give his side of the story. Of course, we're going to be talking about a number of things, and this will be one segment. We've got, of course, we're going to talk about crime and business and all those other things, but this will be one part of the segment. He gets to tell his side of the story. I mean, it's only fair.
Sure. And on the other note, we're pretty excited. This is our sixth county, and what amazes me is that we have what 30 people that are supervisors, I guess, that don't know what our guys do know, with the exception of Bill Chappelle. I mean, Bill Chappelle has been great, but he's fought for the people the whole time on just about everything. I think the issue we have to look at is some of the people that we elect. They look at how does my yes hurt me? How does my no hurt me? How does my yes help me? How does my yes hurt me? Not how does my yes or no help or hurt my constituents, keyword being me.
Well, that's going to be a, like I said, this is going to be an interesting thing. What Kehoe told me yesterday was, even though it's still a 3-2, you still need a 3-2 vote to bring it back. It doesn't mean that you all can't get to, of the four of them that voted no, that you can't get to them and say, hey, look, at least let us give a presentation. And I think, going to Pam Giacomini and, Dave Kehoe. I'd go back to Dave and say, hey, Dave, look at all these things that are going on out there. We'd like to at least just give you a presentation. And you know what? You might be surprised that you can't bring it back up again.
Then why did he make the motion? He made the motion.
He read the motion or whatever. what the motion was is that we can't bring it up, unless it's a 3-2 vote. But of the, what have you got to lose? Is to go talk to him. Right.
We have something else going. We have some other things going. But the point is that we really don't need Shasta County. We can go around them. There's nothing that says that it has to be contiguous. And as you say, we're getting invited by other people. There's something more here. It's just so obvious. And there's no sense in even beating a dead horse. But really and truly, you're going to bring up a motion, read a motion, bring something up, and then you're going to turn around and say, gosh, but give me a call. I might change my mind. Really?
That's my idea. That's not what he said. I'm just saying this. Never give up. You can't give up on things that you've got counties all around, and I think that when they that maybe there's been a lot of pressure put on since then too.
Well, Tehama's 5-0. Yeah. Tehama was 5-0, and Sutter was 5-0. This isn't even being close.
Who are the other counties? You've got Tehama, Sutter,
Siskiyou,
Yuba,
Sutter, Modoc, and who am I forgetting? Siskiyou, Sutter, Yuba, Modoc, Tehama. Oh, Glenn County. And Glenn County went 5-0. Glenn County didn't even ask for a presentation. They went to two town halls, and we sent them a declaration, and they signed it, sent it back, went on Fox News, went everywhere. Fox News 40 in Sacramento. Went everywhere saying that this is the only thing they had. James Gallagher, who's running for assembly and probably a win down in the lower district, who's a Republican down there, he went ahead and he said basically, hey, this is what we have. And I've asked them all, just like you and I have said before, Carl, if you got a better idea, tell us. We're behind you. I mean, all we want to do, it's just like maybe the question to ask is, why don't you guys help us to help you, help all of us? Just help us to help you, help all of us, and get representation.
Right.
There's just really something that smells fishy about this whole thing. And we have people that are going down there and getting records and stuff. It's going to be an interesting month or so. I can guarantee you that.
Okay. Hey, Terry, we got to run here. We got to run out of time. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call and the update.
Yeah. Also, one quick thing.
Sure.
I wish that I had a chance to ask Chief Pelletti a couple of questions. But I know the one call-in rule.
Well, go, this is my question, and my follow-up question is.
Oh.
Remember. Okay. All right.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Okay, hey, look, we've got Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti will be with us here after the break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Reading Crown Motors. Looking for a brand-new Ford, Dodge Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, or Honda? Don't go any further than
right here in town, 555 Cypress Avenue. They have it all, plus any type of previously owned car, truck, or SUV you could possibly want, and an outstanding service department. All this at Redding Crown Motors, 555 Cypress Avenue. Give them a call, 223-2177. I'm here with Gary Hayward, who is the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, having a good time, learning a whole lot of things that are coming on. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you about crime, but I tell you what, when the Chief's here, I want to talk to you a little bit about that so you can jump into it.
Looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. And the Chief is going to come in here, and I hope he comes out swinging. We'll be right back after these messages.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. At a military base in Eindhoven, Netherlands, somber ceremonies for the first 40 victims of the crash of Malaysia Flight 17 arriving on board two huge military transports. The agonizing wait for relatives and friends is almost over.
She's waiting on a couple of days, and now she's coming. It's a very important day for the people here and all the people in our country.
It is an official day of mourning in the Netherlands of the 298 people killed in that crash. 193 were Dutch. Two Ukrainian military fighter jets have been shot down in the east. Ukraine's defense ministry says the planes may have been carrying up to two crew members each. German-owned Lufthansa is extending its ban on commercial flights into Tel Aviv at least another 24 hours because of ongoing security concerns there. We are waiting to see if the FAA will weigh in on whether it will extend the ban on U.S. commercial flights.
This is an FAA decision based, you know, solely on security of American citizens and American airlines.
State Department's Marie Harf. Secretary of State John Kerry reporting some progress in efforts to broker a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
I'm very appreciative that Secretary General is making great efforts. The UN is wholeheartedly in this effort to try to see if we can advance not just a ceasefire, but a sustainable process going forward.
Kerry left Tel Aviv and headed to Ramallah to meet with Palestinian leaders. Also at SRNnews.com, American flags flying again atop the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, but not before someone scaled the bridge and replaced them with white flags.
At this time, it appears it has no particular nexus to terrorism or even politics. This may be somebody's art project, or it may be an attempt at making some kind of statement.
More details at SRNnews.com.
Lumber Liquidators just acquired truckloads of top-quality flooring from brands like Armstrong at unbelievably low prices. And now you get the deals at the incredible flooring buyout sale on now through July 29th. Get clearance flooring for just 29 cents a square foot. Solid three-quarter pre-finished gunstock oak is $189 with quick click for $159. So go to LumberLiquidators.com today to find the store nearest you. Special 18-month financing is available. But hurry, this sale ends Tuesday.
Help your child or grandchild become a well-rounded, moral, and successful adult with a Christ-centered education. Private Christian schools across the country have agreed to reduce their tuitions so families can enroll a student at up to half the cost. Set your sights a little higher and help your student grow closer to the Lord. To find a school in your area and request a voucher, visit DiscountTuitionProgram.com. DiscountTuitionProgram.com is a service of Salem Communications.
Fair or foul, this New Yorker's been keeping an eye on the weather for a long, long time.
Richard Hendrickson is a retired Long Island dairy and chicken farmer who's been tracking daily weather readings since Herbert Hoover was in the White House. This weekend, he'll be recognized by the National Weather Service. The agency is naming its 80-year service award in honor of Hendrickson. He's actually been doing the volunteer job for 84 years. Longer than anyone in history.
SRN's Rich Thomason says Hendrickson is 101 years old. Wetter and cooler is better, especially for crews battling Washington State's biggest ever wildfire. With more rain in the forecast, though, they hope that not too much moisture occurs because that could lead to flash floods. Donald Sterling's estranged wife, Sally, returns to the witness stand in Los Angeles today. It's a trial to determine if she can sell the L.A. Clippers for $2 billion. This is SRN News. The head of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee says a compromise is in the works on a bill to reform the Veterans Affairs Department. SRN's Linda Kenyon reports.
Senator Bernie Sanders says the compromise bill will come with a much smaller price tag than the previous estimate provided by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The independent senator from Vermont says the bill will be considerably lower than $35 billion. Senator Sanders says he still wants to use emergency funding to pay for the bill, acknowledging that emergency funds would speed up the process but would also add to the budget deficit. At the same time, though, Sanders tells reporters if there are areas that can be offset without harming veterans, he's open to the possibility. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Washington.
A House committee is hearing at this hour about how undercover investigators use fake identities to get taxpayer-subsidized insurance under President Obama's health care law. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Wally Hines.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the DeBot. Linda's on the road today, but Gary Hayward, the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, is with me today. And this is your second time at this, and thanks a lot for coming by.
A lot more relaxed this time.
We try to make it easy. Jason came on one day, and he was a little uptight, a little tense there, sure. But, you know, maybe we'll...
I know what it feels like.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll bring him back on another time. It's 8:05 and 8:06 in the morning here today on July the 23rd, or Wednesday. Let's go to our friends at Wells Fargo, our Wells Fargo advisor, Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, stocks are a little changed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 7 points at 17,106. The S&P 500 is up 5 points at 1988. And the Nasdaq Composite advancing 21 points at 4,477. The three most actively traded stocks on the Nasdaq, Apple up $2.08, trading at 96.78. Microsoft positive 21 cents at $45.04. Facebook up $1.16 at 70.43. For local bank stocks of interest, Trico Bank shares down 16 cents at 22.68. Cornerstone Community Bank flat and trading at $9.55. Bank of Commerce up a penny at 6.33. For commodities, gold is up $1 an ounce at $1,309, silver up a penny at $21, and crude oil positive 57 cents, trading at $102 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 708-808-908 in the morning to tell us and to share with you what's going on in Wall Street and to give you ideas about which way Wall Street is heading. Even though it's over 17,000 points, the highest it's ever been, it's a very volatile market and wars going on, Israel and Hamas, what's happening in the Middle East, all the different things are happening, the rulings against Obamacare yesterday. Everything has an impact on the stock market. So why not deal with people that know what they're doing with this thing? 243-7561. 243-7561. Make an appointment. They're your neighbors. Head on down to Park Marina Drive after that. Okay, Bob, what's the weather?
Carbon copy of yesterday. Kind of warm, but actually not as bad as it was last week. A little on the muggy side. It'll be a high near 90. That's going to continue. It's going to jump up to about 95, 96 tomorrow. Overnight lows will be in the 60s. Right now in Reading, we have 66 degrees. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Senior and veterans discounts, 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's your place for great coffee and espresso joes at great prices. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. E-cigs, everything that you could possibly imagine there, tobacco accoutrements, lighters, all. All of this at Tobacco and Brew, and veterans always get discounts, always treated very well at Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Of course, you know, Gary, somebody wrote in that you are an interesting guest.
Oh, nice.
Well, he's my co-host here, so it's kind of different. But we're here with our guest, Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
I mean, you're
You look good.
I just got back from Alabama, and I'm used to cold air conditioning, so I've been kind of curled up for
I think you said the other day was that they obviously have no problems with electricity down there because everything's at 52 degrees.
Yeah, they're pretty proud of their air conditioners. Every room we walked into, you could hang beef in. So I guess I was the beef for a couple of weeks. It was a little chilly.
Where's the beef? And I've lost my paper, but the front page of the paper, which is right here behind my computer, says business owners dig in against property crime. It's no surprise to you, huh?
No. I talked to a lot of business groups and with the Reading Merchants Crime Watch, and I just spoke at the Board of Realtors before I took a couple weeks off. And there's a lot of frustration. And whatever reason that they decide to come to the town hall meeting, I welcome that. I mean, that's why I'm having them. Let's have that honest discussion about crime and what's going on in our community. The first one I did a year and a half ago, I had 350 people there. The last one we did, we had 20. So wow. I'm making myself available to talk about crime and talk about the issues and let people know where the police department is. This time, the last town hall meeting that we had a lot of questions on parts of the criminal justice system that aren't the Reading Police Department. So, you know, we do the law enforcement and the arresting and the crime prevention. Then it goes to the district attorney and the courts for prosecution. Then it goes to the sheriff and the probation department for corrections and rehabilitation. It is a linked system. So instead of having information that just comes from Chief Pelletti all the time, I've set up a little bit different format rather than just me and crime stats. We're going to have a panel that's going to have Sheriff Pasenko and the new probation chief, Tracy Neal, and Josh Lowry from the DA's office. And Mike Johnson's going to come up from Anderson. The CHP is going to have a commander there. The Dave Nichols from parole is going to be there so he can update the community on what's happening with parole itself. So it'll be a law enforcement panel. We'll throw them up in front of the microphones on the council dais, and you know we'll have a couple people there to hand microphones around. You can ask questions directly to you know the total law enforcement aspect of Shasta.
And there's no time limit on this either. Now once it starts, it's till they're finished, right?
I'll stay there till midnight, 1 o'clock, whatever.
Till the
whatever
cows
it takes.
Come
yeah.
home. That's awesome. All right, you know one of the things that you've said since you've been on our show, and you're on a monthly update, just like the sheriff is and other city leaders and county leaders. The bottom line is that you've been talking about this for a long time, and the idea of having 1 to 2,000 people, which is great.
I think it's great. Whatever reason, you know, they decide whether they want to do it. I'd rather them not be so silent. Talk to us about what's going on. Talk to us about your frustrations. And matter of fact, I'm meeting with some of those business owners this afternoon to talk through some of these issues. There's a swell, and people are dissatisfied, and they feel like their quality of life is going down. And I understand that. I didn't move to Reading and commute from Lodi or Stockton. You know, this is my home too. And, you know, I see the change that's taken place in Reading in just the 2.5 years that I've been here. The drug culture that is coming into this community is unhealthy for this community. The transient population that seems to be growing, especially in the summer months, is not good for this community. It's not good for business.
You told me 3 months ago, 4 months ago, the system's broken. And it was agreed. Sheriff Pasenko came in right after you and said, "Oh, it's broken." Everybody that you're going to have on the dais up there, as we had the district attorney in, it is broken.
It is, and you know we've talked a lot about AB 109 and the effect that it's having, and I think that from a community corrections partnership standpoint, the state implemented this very, very quickly, and the money did not have a lead in to implementation. So all of a sudden one day, AB 109 changed, but the counties didn't have the money to put the programs in place to deal with it ahead of time. You know, in the end, you know, 5 years from now, we may say, hey, AB 109 has had an effect in that local communities can deal with these offenders better than you know, the state of California has in the past. But the implementation was so quick that we're still struggling to catch up. We're experimenting with different processes and different treatment programs, and some are successful and some aren't.
Yeah, but it's been 3 years, Chief. And
yeah.
We've got our leadership out there. Of course, we have new elections coming. Of course, the past election has just returned the same leadership at the county. I mean, with both the supervisors and the sheriff. I'm not saying anything about them, but I'm just saying it's the same leadership. There's going to be different leadership at the city, I imagine. I can't imagine that it's staying the same. At least there's going to be one change for sure in there. So we want to take a quick break. We come back so we can kind of put some of these things in perspective. The Record Searchlight, which has a good – I mean, they've got the statistics right here for the Reading and for the last
eight years.
Oh, you sent this to them? But that doesn't address people that don't call. And this is one of your concerns too. But I want to go over these statistics when we get back, okay? Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti, my co-host Gary Hayward, General Manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, is with us today. We're talking about crime on July 30th. There's a town hall at City Hall that the chief's going to have, but he's also going to invite the sheriff, the district attorney, the probation officer, parole officer, the police chief from Anderson, all these people here, and he's urging people. He loves the idea that there's going to be a lot of people there, so he can answer questions. But during the show, besides talking statistics, we also want to talk about solutions that you've come up with also. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Reading, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Hey, this is your pipe talking. Don't put that baby wipe down the toilet. Didn't you know that disposable doesn't always mean flushable? Cleaning wipes and baby wipes do not dissolve and get stuck in poor old sewer pipes like me. And I get backed up. Please, throw used wipes in the trash so I can continue to breathe and not clog your sewer pumping equipment. You know the cost to hire a plumber to unclog me typically ranges from $75 to $350? And that doesn't include the time it takes you to clean up the sewage that may have backed up. So pass the word on to everyone who cleans your home or business, too.
Be kind to your plumbing and remember, wipes clog pipes. Throw used wipes in the trash. In addition to wipes, kitchen grease, kitty litter, plastic, and latex items can all clog pipes and should be bagged or contained and placed in the trash. A public education project by Reading Municipal Utilities. For questions or more details, call 224-6068.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan and holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward here. We've got Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti with us, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. Outstanding service to all makes and models of heating and cooling systems, let me tell you, Martin and his people.
take care of your systems like it's their own. Martin's been great. Yeah, there's people doing that. He came over one day and crawled underneath our house, took photos. He says, you know, this is some of the things that are going on here. And, you know, he did it just to help us out. And, you know, you can't say much more than that. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service for emergencies. But you got to give them a call at 221-2642, 221-2642. Check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. Gary Hayward and myself are welcoming Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty. You know, Rob, and we got people calling in. There's questions in here. I'll get to all these, but because it's our show, we get to ask first. When we look at the crime statistics they have that you give to them, that mm-hmm. you gave to the paper, homicide is level. Rape has gone down. Robbery has gone up since these are 2013 statistics. Assault was down. In 2013, burglary is down, larceny is down, vehicle theft was up in 2013. What do you see as the statistics right now?
Well, through June, and these are the statistics that I'll talk about on the 30th, we're flat. So there's, you know, last year we were up in motor vehicle theft and down in burglary. This year we're up in burglary and down in motor vehicle theft. So, you know, we've got this teeter-totter kind of going on in different crimes. Violent crime's up a little bit. Property crime's down a little bit. Overall, it's flat. I'm still concerned, though, not so much on the violent crime side, but on the property crime side, that we have an underreporting problem. I've done interviews and I've told people to report their crime. I put it out at town hall meetings. But the fact of the matter is the customer service model that the Reading Police Department is delivering right now is not giving the response times to cold crimes and report crimes that we would like to see. And for that, I think people get frustrated and they just don't call.
Well, there's a lot of anecdotal stuff out there. So yeah. I call and it's been 2 hours, so I don't call.
Exactly.
And that's what your concern is.
And that's where my concern is. We're looking at our online reporting system and can we expand that to be able to, you know, take more crime reports over that system. I see the online reporting system as a necessary evil. I think that, you know, if somebody's a victim of a crime, they deserve to see a police officer or a CSO or somebody when they want to report that. Unfortunately, we're still going up in our calls for service. Last year, we ended about 92,000 calls for service. I think we're going to be above that this year. So we've gone from about 83,000 calls for service to low 90s and 1,000 calls for service in a three-year period. And that is hard to juggle, the workload increase, you know, when you have the same number of people.
The statistics from years ago, 10 years ago, I mean, were they much less than this?
It depends on – we had a spike when the first year of AB 109, 2012, because AB 109 was implemented in 2011. We went up about 30% in our property crime rate. We wow. took a dip about 12% after that. But – we've gone down a little bit, and then we've remained relatively flat. But until we get back that 29% that we lost in 2011, 2012, Reading is not what it used to be. So I've kind of, you know, said that, you know, I'm not turning cartwheels over a 12% decrease until we get back to 29% that we got before we lost that 12%. So I think things are flat, and flat is better than up, but flat is not better than down.
Okay. A lot of people, all of our new people running for city council and people running for city council all coming up with great ideas now. How do we fight? Have we lost this battle?
I don't think so. You know, and I welcome those ideas. You know, that's been the impetus for being out in the public as much as I have been, is to try to solicit those ideas. I mean, let's face it, if we wait for Rob to come up with all the good ideas, then then we're struggling a little bit here. You know, we've been looking at, you know, alternative ways to do things, because, you know, I can scream and yell about, you know, hey, the police department's understaffed and I need people. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't have the money to pay for the salaries and benefits and everything, you're not going to get more people. So I'm very realistic about that aspect of where the city is and where the community is. We've been doing research on a police reserve program for the last 6 months or so, utilizing kids that are graduating the academy that haven't been hired somewhere yet, to bring them onto the Reading Police Department. And if nothing else, because it would be a level 2 reserve until they have enough time to become a level 1 reserve. At least that puts a second officer in the car for some of the safety issues.
Okay, now these are people, these are men and women who have graduated from the academy, don't have a job, and you're going to bring them here almost like an intern status.
Almost. There's other issues that come into that, and that's what's complicating it right now is where do we get, you know, the manpower to do the backgrounds, you know, the cost of the psychological exams. They still have to go through the same vetting process that a normal police officer would. So we've got to figure out how we're going to pay for those things to be able to put this program into place. It's not maintaining a program. It's starting a program. So right. Therefore, you have a lot more work on the front end.
Have you okay, I know you've got a number of things you want to do here, because I have a question when you get finished with that.
No, go right ahead.
Okay, so it's going to take money. I think that there's money out there, and the city is ready for this, and the people are ready for this. If you're saying, hey, here's my solutions, it's going to cost this much money, but it's going to immediately put more people on the street. It's going to put more CSOs or whatever your plan is. I think this is the time. I think the people will support this.
Yeah, well, one of the hard parts when we start talking, a lot of my officers are instructors at the police academy. And right now, if they're 3 weeks into an academy class, there's already been five departments there recruiting people and hiring them out of the academy. So the best people are gone by the time that by the time they graduate. So we're going to have to look at, you know, we're going to have to try and test it and see if are we getting the people that haven't got a job yet, or those are the ones that can't pass anything, can't pass the site, can't pass the – because any student can go put themselves through the police academy. That doesn't mean necessarily that they can pass everything.
That they're going to be right. Somebody you want to be carrying a gun in your community.
But we have to try these things. And if right. They don't work, you know, I'm big enough to stand up and say, hey, we tried that. It didn't work. I've talked to, you know, some members of the Downtown Reading Business Association about the possibility of getting some movable camera systems that we can put up downtown in high-crime areas that would – allow us to see what was going on. Those camera systems are about $7,500 to $8,000 a piece. We can move them around, and they just attach to a light pole.
But the Downtown Reading Business Association said they'd provide those. Right?
We're in those discussions now. Yeah, they were
okay,
talking to me about that.
So that would be in high crime areas. Okay, yeah, it's another solution.
When I originally started looking at them, it was to deal with a problem location that we had downtown that we needed to collect some evidence on. Unfortunately, you know, I got a little pushback on that because let's face it, there's a lot of the people in this community don't want cameras up in their community. So you know, it didn't really go anywhere at the time. But you know, that's something that we're gonna continue to look at and bring up to council and business groups as options that we have. If we could, you know, put up some cameras downtown and have, say, a retired police officer that has that eye for crime that can sit and monitor those and be able to direct officers when a crime is taking place, we might have some good impact with that.
Okay.
So, you know, I think there's some things that we can do in the interim as the economy's improving and we get to where we can expand the number of police officers and community services officers on the street that may help us get through this period to get to where we were before.
How do we put more community service officers on the street?
Well, let's face it. It just takes dollars. You know, the Reading Police Department itself is still down 22 sworn positions and 16 community service officers as well as some support wow. staff. You know, when you take 40 people off the street that are answering calls for service, taking reports, and fighting crime, that's a big dent. I mean, our investigations division used to be 24 detectives. It's now 11. So, you know, we lost the neighborhood police unit. We lost a lot of our ability to be proactive. And right now, I'm afraid that our department has become simply reactive to the calls for service that are there and just trying to answer our basic need of answering that 911 call.
Okay. And I know the city council and everybody's on it, but say, hey, look, I need $1 million. I'm going to put, I don't know how many CSOs on the ground, but.
Well, an allotment of budget dollars to me is a city council function, and so that's going to be up to them. If they ask me, I think that you know CSOs are the best business investment to start with, and then we can expand the number of police officers later. I've taken a little criticism because you know we're building a building instead of you know hiring the five police or CSOs that building payment would have paid for, and I understand that. I understand there's some frustration there, but you know. When you have a building that's been declared a dangerous building and you have sewage leakages and the problems that we have, I didn't feel like I really had much of a choice there but to go with a feasible plan. And that building is now ahead of schedule. And you know, I think that's a big positive for our department that's and the community to have a good police facility. So
it's about time.
We're being very modest with it. You know, we're not fancying it up.
There's no arches in it, right?
No, there's no.
How about skylights over your office?
Les Melberg actually joked at a council meeting with Patrick Jones that it looks like a glorified double wide. But
that's okay.
You know, we're going to put
a job right.
We got polished cement floor in the bathroom instead of. So we're being very very functional about how this building's going in and making sure that it stays, you know, right on budget. We were able to fit into the budget the rolling property evidence shelf system that expands our storage capacity from about 5,000 to about 10,000 square feet. So that'll take us well into the future as far as the utilization of that building.
Question coming in. What happens when the grants for the five officers go away?
One of the things that the council talked about when they had the budget meetings last year was, you know, the grants aren't necessarily in sync with the city's budget. So the grant ends, then you have to, by contract, extend it for 1 year, and then we fell about five positions or 5-6 months short with the five positions. So we need about $250,000 to continue that through this budget year. And basically what they said is we'll deal with it in the next budget cycle.
So we won't. So you don't expect to lose them, though?
I don't expect to lose them in this two-year budget cycle. We have had the Reading Police Department over the last year has brought $450,000 of unanticipated grant funding into the department for positions. We had the OTS, Officer of Traffic Safety, fully funded our DUI officer for one more year. We won't get that for next year. We made some contracts with the school districts to get they're paying for a portion of the school resource officers that are on the campuses. We also we're right now about almost done with replacing every one of our police radios without using a single general fund dollar. It's all been grant funds and other things that we've been able to acquire. And those radios are $4,300 a piece.
Yeah.
You know, and we have 100 radios, but now we can actually talk to the sheriff's department where we couldn't before.
Oh, gee, imagine that, being able to talk to the other. I know, because we run the same thing in the military. You're on the next hill from me. I just wave at you because we did not have inner service radios that worked. Everybody had their own little way of doing things. Anyway, don't get me started there. All right, we got to take a break here. We got, I'm sure there's people on the lines. We've got questions in here. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty, and you also have more ideas that you want to do here. There's going to be a town hall meeting on Wednesday, July the 30th. They're expecting a couple thousand people. You might want to get there early. What time does it start?
6 o'clock.
Six. You might want to get down there at maybe 5:30. Get yourself a seat in there.
I'm going to get there at 2:30 so I can park.
Yeah, there you go. So, and then, you know what? This is a good chance to have, you know, to pick out, to get the word out and for people to ask questions, because it's not going to be just Chief Pletty. It's going to be the sheriff, district attorney, the whole enchilada, as we say. We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward. We'll be right back with Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center, well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Change your world in as few as 16 months. Simpson University's popular Aspire degree completion program was designed for busy working adults. Choose degree programs as diverse as organizational leadership, psychology, liberal studies, business and HR management, or the RN to BSN step-up program, all relevant in today's competitive job market. Student success fuels our program success. With a 96% graduation rate over the past 20 years, our Aspire degree completion program is a challenging yet rewarding adult learning experience. Custom tailor your degree success plan with our dedicated academic counselors who will personally guide you on your educational journey. Call today and speak with our admissions professionals. But don't delay. This spring's application deadline is approaching and classes will be filled soon. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON today to speak with an admissions professional or visit us online at simpsonu.edu/aspire. Simpson University School of Continuing Studies. Challenge your mind. Ignite your heart. Change your world.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and Gary Heward are here today. Our guest is Robert, Reading Police Chief Rob Folletti. We're talking crime in the city and things that the chief wants to do and things that that can help help fight crime here to get crime under control. It's even though the statistics are flat right now, it's still they went up so much that even being flat means is that they're still up. You know, they haven't gone up maybe since last year, but they went up really high a couple years ago, and they've just kind of stayed there. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold. Don't go in there and try to rob the place. Just don't do it. I mean, there's probably all the clientele there carrying, and great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans, all there at Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. We'll be right. I almost said we'll be right back, but we're not.
We are. We're immediately right back.
Gary, you're not letting me. Gary, you got to jump in here and save me on these things here.
I was about ready to, but you. Good.
Hey, let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Chief?
Good. How are you, Terry?
Doing okay. You were talking about the camera systems, which, you know, I think that's good if people are going to have that in a business and for their business. I'm not so sure that I really think it's great that we have moving cameras filming everything in Reading. But you were talking about retired police officers handling that. When you had a discussion with Kayla Brown and Red Smith about this, you were mentioning some sort of new law which would you couldn't hire retired police officers because we talked about maybe you hiring them and having an auxiliary police force. And you said because some law, you couldn't do that. So how are we going to get retired police officers to do the camera systems? And I have another question after that.
Well, not really. What PEPRA put into place is they can only be used in a temporary basis and only for 960 hours per year. So since this would be a temporary program, not a permanent supplanting of full-time positions, and we could use them on a part-time basis and use several of them to get the hours that we need, we can use them for this type of purpose.
960 hours a year really wouldn't be enough to make that particular program effective, or you would just alternate different
people.
You alternate different people.
Correct.
And the other thing is too is that community watches and things like that, which have worked in places like Cottonwood, and I know for our own neighborhood, we just organized our own crime watch because we had two things happen here. We didn't bother to call in because the police, when they do come, they're late, and I understand how busy you guys are. But the other thing I want to bring up was this thing about this panel that you have. You know, I would submit to you that seems almost like a bit of a deflection. You've got everybody else coming in, and I know Tom, who's a great speaker. I'm sure he'll field a lot of questions. But isn't this just about Reading? I mean, aren't these questions for you and really what you're going to do? You know, we understand you're understaffed, not underpaid, but understaffed. We understand that all the things that are going on, but aren't these questions really for you and not for this whole other panel? How does that work?
Well, I'll be there, and I'll be able to answer questions relative to Reading, like I always do.
I understand.
And
the idea to set up this panel came before the silent protest. This was actually an idea I came up with right after the last one, because I got questions relative to the jail. I got questions relative to prosecution. I got questions relative to probation. And I think that the community deserves to hear directly from those. This is a criminal justice system, and I'm one link in that system. So, you know, the idea for the panel actually came up long before this silent protest. And the fact of the matter is I'm glad people are coming, because that's the purpose of these. You've been to a lot of them, and, you know, we try to have discussions. One of the things that came out of the last town hall meeting that was a suggestion was that the chief meet on a monthly basis with all the neighborhood watch captains from the community. And I thought that was a great idea. And what the problem is that when they did away with the crime prevention CSO in the budget, they kind of let the current list of neighborhood watch captains kind of dissolve.
So yeah, you just said yourself you could use retired officers. Why couldn't you use 960 hours from several retired officers? I know 20 of them. From different, do they have to all be RPD? Can they be other people? Number one, you have that for you. You do have that. The sheriff uses retired people. The other thing is couldn't they just volunteer? Why wouldn't they volunteer? We had a highway patrolman who volunteered for ours. So why wouldn't they volunteer? And the other thing is, too, I still find it curious that this is going to be about what crime we have in Redding. And you have everybody on the panel but somebody in a dog suit. There's a lot of people on that panel, and I would submit to you that some of the questions, some of the direct things that really need to be asked about Redding, because by far the crime in Redding is much worse than the other areas. Why in the world do we have all these other people? And if you're one of eight people, that means you're going to field about 15% of the questions when it really is about Redding.
Well, I think I already answered that, Terry.
Well, I think that you might have answered it. Anyway, Chief, thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Terry.
Sure.
Our problem is it's Redding problem because we all live here, but it's also a Shasta County problem, and it's also a Shasta County problem. People came in here were really ticked at Tom because of letting these guys go. Some of these guys go. They went in and they did a crime afterwards, but Tom didn't turn them loose.
Well, and I'm going to commend the chief because he's one of the first guys I've seen in a long time do this outreach and continue to do the outreach and then take it the next step and educate the community on what really goes into that arrest. A lot of people don't understand the interdependencies between all the agencies. And I'll tell you what, after getting that explanation, it's a whole different picture. It is all of us. It's not just the chief. And if anybody is going to expect him to solve it all, then they're living in a dream world because he can't. It's not feasible, I don't think.
Well, we're going to try.
People there, I understand what Terry's saying. This is your town hall. But you know what? You arrest somebody, they go to jail, and I've been to the jail, I've gone to the tours, and everybody's probably talking ad nauseum about that. But the point is that they turn people loose. Tom was on the show, and he just got hammered for turning people loose that went on and committed other crimes. And Tom says, well, wait a minute. And he points right at the district attorney because the district attorney turned them loose or they're on their own recognizance and they committed a crime. So see, this is all interrelated whether you like it or not. You can arrest 1,000 people a day. And frankly, I believe this is the root cause is you can arrest 1,000 people a day. You only have room for five. You've got 995 bad guys you've caught, but they're back on the streets again. Right. We need a place to put these people, and we need it now.
We have – I did statistics, and I talked to you about this, and I have the I guess you would say the sometimes useless ability to remember a lot of statistics and be able to spit them out. But, 62% of our arrests last year were 1,100 people. That's a lot of repeat offenders. But that's 1,100 people, and Tom has 341 jail beds. And – because of that, a lot of them pre-trial don't show up to court. So the district attorney can't prosecute them because there's no jail space. So we've been dealing with this problem. We came up with Shasta's Most Wanted as a way to focus on those people that aren't showing up to court. And that's what those have been in that.
How's that working for you?
It's actually – we've arrested – I think we're pushing over 300 of them have been arrested and gone back. And Tom and the courts have the statistics on what's happened to them. Like 18 of them have gone to prison. A lot of them have been sentenced. So we've had some success there. Has it solved our failure to appear problem?
Well,
I don't think that's
realistic. Let me throw this in is that the ones you arrest, the most wanted –
that you catch again. Now they've got other charges on them, and now that's holding up the system too. It's not like they just come in. So, and I can tell you exactly where, because Tom came in with every one of them. I can tell you exactly where every one of those most wanted are, and a lot of them are on the road again. Because they got more crime.
But look at the public awareness it brought to the problem.
That's true.
You know, we're getting people turned in by citizens because crime is a community problem, not just the police's problem. And that's what I've been trying to get them to – that's why I think it's great that they're all coming. Let's have the discussion. You know, big issue with transients, and what are we going to do to solve the transient problem?
I tell you what, let's take a break. I'm going to break early. I want to know what we can do about transients. I also want to know what we can do about all these places that are just like dens of iniquity for these people, that you've got a business that says, you know, they keep calling the cops, and cops said, you know what? This location is not a good location for a business because of the amount of crime and bad guys that are in these two motels right there. We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Gary Hayward, and we have Reading Police Chief Rob Plenty with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You'll be dancing in the aisles this Friday and Saturday at Kids Unlimited Music and Dance Extravaganza at the Reading Civic. Waterworks Park invites you to support the talent of our local youth as they sing, dance, and act their way into your heart with music from some of your favorite animated movies. You'll think you're attending Broadway's smash hit of the season. Kids Unlimited. You've never seen anything like it. Kids Unlimited, changing our local children's lives in Reading for years to come. Tickets on sale starting at only $7 now at ReadingCivic.com.
Pre-planning your funeral or cremation will give you and your family peace of mind. Pre-planning guarantees that your wishes will be carried out. Prepaid plans locks in today's prices and gives you full control. Don't let your loved ones face confusing choices and high costs. Call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 and let us assist in making life's challenges easier. For a consultation, call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 or visit blairscremation.com.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio is all about the whole story, all the stuff the mainstream media only covers in sound bites. Every Sunday morning, We the People Radio digs into the politics of public policy, communitarianism, land use, Agenda 21, smart growth, immigration, elections, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and wolves.
You know, for over 3 years, we've spoken with famous and not so famous people from around the world who understand the principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution.
Well, thanks, Bill. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for guest information and our extensive archives.
It's all about We the People here at We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Join Erin Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR 1460 a.m., the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Dubai. Linda just came rolling through here on her way to another place, but I have Gary Hayward, who is the general manager of the Wind River Resort and Casino, with me.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for being with us.
I'm having a good time.
Of course, our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Plenty, and this is our last segment here, and a lot of things to talk about. You know, one of the things you talk about, and it was already commented on, was the camera. And Gary, you had a comment here during the break.
Well, you know, we have over 475 some odd cameras and from the time you turn on, so I'm letting the bad guys know out there, when you turn on the Rancheria reservation, there's about almost 500 cameras that cover everything but the restrooms. So, you know, that's how it works. And I'll tell you what, the comments I get from the guests are, thank you, because it's one of the safest, they feel like it's a safe place to go, a safe place to hang out, and they know they're covered. Now, the bad guys aren't going to tell you that because they know they're probably going to be doing something that's going to get caught. And so, to me, I think it's something this community should really think about and support, because if we just had some of these cameras in areas that, like the chief said, the high crime or where we're getting a lot of reports, and what they're going to find out is it's only going to catch those bad guys. They're not out there to watch the average citizen. They're there to catch these crimes in progress and get them handled right away. And so I hope it eventually happens. I think it'd be a huge, huge plus. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have to come up with some, I guess, out-of-the-box thinking a little bit and do some things that are going to make some improvements. I mean, you know, I've talked a lot over the last couple of years about our computer system and that upgrade of that system so we get that true picture of crime has taken longer, quite frankly. It's a little frustrating how long sometimes these selection processes.
Are you still using push pins?
We don't use push pins. We use dots on a Google map, which is still way behind the times. Okay. We have the consultant online now. When we talked about the computer upgrade and I talked to other chiefs that have gone through this process, they said, get a consultant that specializes in this because if you don't, it won't work. So we've got a great guy that's online now. He's completing the needs assessments. The computer system, when I talk about our computer system and how bad it is, it's not just mine. It's mine. It's the sheriff's. It's the city of Anderson's. It is a countywide system that we are trying to upgrade and improve.
It's like a combat intel center. Everything feeds into it. Everybody has access to it, and you can project them.
Right now you have separate systems in computer-aided dispatch and jail management and records management and report writing. We want to integrate that all into one system so that we have real-time data to be able to deal with crime. It in a resource-depleted environment, resource management becomes that much more important. It doesn't do me any good to have somebody driving up and down one street when the crime's somewhere else. So that'll give us a very good picture. And that computer system still, you know, by the time you do the needs assessments and you write the request for proposals and you take those and you have the demos and you do the selection and you do the implementation, it's about 18
months. How much is one of those cost?
Frontline, if you wanted to just pay it as a capital improvement project, probably $2 to $3 million for one this size. Now, what we're doing is Governor Brown – 2 years ago implemented AB 109 municipal funds for counties. It's for municipal cities, but they're given countywide. Sheriff Pasenko, Chief Johnson, and I have decided to use that money to upgrade this computer system. So based on the way we're going to either do a software lease or a software purchase, the money we're getting from the state of California will almost completely fund that program
When do you think that will be completed?
I think
then?
It's still going to take about another, from what the consultant's telling me, probably 12 to 18 months.
Okay, so within a year and a half.
Year and a half.
We should have it.
It's moving slower than I want, but it's moving forward, and that's a positive. The homeless problem and
homeless and transit
issue. One of the things that Mike Johnson and I talked about is
who is the police chief of Anderson.
Chief in Anderson is how do we get a holistic or a total plan to be able to deal with the problem if we don't know what the population really looks like. Now, if you talk to homeless advocates will tell you that our homeless population is local, it's chronically poor, and they want our help. If you talk to cops will tell you that they're drug addicted, mentally ill, and they don't want your help. They're making a life choice. So that's a big difference in view. So Mike Johnson and I got together with County Social Services and with the Good News Rescue Mission in 2 days a week, accompanied by a police officer that we have pulled from patrol that I'm now supplementing with overtime because our patrol staff is at minimum levels. We're making that investment, and that group is out contacting the homeless, connecting them with mental health, connecting with services, and gathering statistics so that we can look at what does that total population look like. How many are wills? How many are won'ts? How many are can'ts, you know, want our help? How many are local? How many are already getting social services benefits that are choosing to live homeless and spend that money on other things? So
that's awesome.
We're trying to get a picture of what that looks like so then we can get the players together, the businesses, the homeless advocates, and develop a plan to be able to deal with that. What that looks like until we get that picture, I don't know yet. You know, it may have an enforcement component. It may have an outreach component. It may have an increased housing component. We have a lot of different options that we can do. But in the end, the people that we're trying to help have to want that help. And I'll give you a perfect example. Reading Merchants Crime Watch, one of the business owners complained about this guy that's consistently drunk in front of their business. I fed that information to Jessica and to Officer Snyder. They went out and met with that guy the next day. He has income. He knows he has a problem. And he said he wanted to get off the street. They got him housed that day. They got him a place, a residential facility that he can live in. But he was back in front of that business in 2 days. So we're going to have
it's either they can't take the help, they don't want to help take the help, or they will take the help.
They will take it, or they have some kind of ability or issue that makes them not know that they need it, right. And that's the can't.
We've only got like 6 minutes left here, Chief. Other things that you want to do. I know that you went after a couple of these hotels, the code enforcement, because you have 300 calls in a year to one place?
465 calls in 6 months at one location. We've done a lot of community policing projects. We completed 56 in 1 year. It's because every officer is doing them. Some of them very small, some of them large, like the hotel where we actually went through the district attorney's office and got an abatement order for that hotel and forced that owner. That was a partnership between us, code enforcement, and public health to get that done and get that abatement order. I think that we as a police department need to work a little bit closer with code enforcement. Code enforcement isn't necessarily – the two ladies that are there aren't necessarily just doing building compliance anymore. They're focused mainly on transient issues and marijuana. And that is a component of what we do in the police department. And I think greater cooperation between the police department and code enforcement is something
that we need to focus toward. Should code enforcement work for you?
I don't know. That's a discussion we'll have to have. I think there's some benefit in that. But, whether they work directly into the police department or whether they work in planning, either way, we need a closer knit there because there's only two of them for the city of Reading for 60 square miles, and we need to cooperate and have better cooperation. I've been talking to Francie about that quite a bit, actually.
Okay. The transients, which is just a huge problem. I know that that you can move them off public lands after you give them 7 days to move.
Mm-hmm. We basically have to evict them now.
Right. So it's 7 days. Plus, then you have to keep their stuff forever. What about private property?
Private property owners are not the government. Private property owners can clean their own property and kick people
off
their property.
Can they ask you all to come in and do it?
If we do it, we have to post it. We have to wait 7 days. We have to store their property.
So even if it's on my private property and I say, I need help getting these jerks out of here,
yes.
And you still have to post them for seven days.
So that's one of the things that we run into where the courts have not helped us. And quite frankly, squatting is a huge problem, not just out in rural areas, but now within the city and taking over houses that are abandoned. And we have to evict those people because as soon as they move in their third 30 days, they start to gain a property interest. So it's very difficult in dealing with the transients and the squatters. I would love to be able to just go into, say, Mercy Canyon with a bulldozer and say, hey, we're going to move. We cannot do that. And we have to operate within the confines of the law. And the law is getting more and more restrictive on how we can deal with that people, and it's frustrating.
You've got one guy who just works on this, right?
Bob Brandon, yes.
And how many people would you say, how many camps is he evicted in a year usually?
A lot. Last year he removed over 135,000 pounds of garbage
from
the city of Reading open spaces.
135,000 pounds. Now, I know that he goes from spot to spot to spot, and they even know him. They come in and they clean it up. Is there a way of like bulldozing it and putting salt there so nobody can come back?
Bob even talks to the transients and gives them trash bags and asks them to just bag your trash and we'll come pick it up. And they don't do it.
Of course
they
not.
Use it as luggage to haul around stuff. So we try to be enforcement oriented, but we also try to have a little bit of a heart in dealing with these people because they are human beings. Unfortunately, I have a lot of heart for those that want our help that didn't choose that condition. I don't have a lot of sympathy for people that are making life choices.
Okay, so let's kind of recap. Let me see if I can recap everything here. You're going to look at the volunteer officer program out mm-hmm. there on the streets. You need to have somebody come in, and it could be a reserve officer come in and train people to that so you can have more eyes out there. You're going to use officers coming out of the academy They haven't gotten jobs yet to after they go through the training and the psychological, which costs money. Have them come in and give you that second person in the cars. The community service officers, you could do that immediately, but you just need money for that.
Yeah, that's a money expenditure the council has to
do. And the council has to do that. And trust me, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them for that because everybody's agreeing about it. You're having this big meeting on the 30th, and frankly, everything, as Gary has said, is interrelated. So having the jail, the district attorney, the public defender there, so people can see how this works. So it's not just it's a police problem that they've got, but it's also a community problem for having the police to put the people and how, and you know, the district attorney told me they got everybody together one time and there was no room to have a court. They had everybody there, but no room to have a trial. And frankly, I find that abhorrent also. The crux of this, the biggest part of this to me, is if you had a place to put 200 of these felons or would-be felons, people you arrest, I think that would knock crime down 50%.
I think when people know that there's ramification for their bad action, they're less likely to commit it. Right now, we don't have a lot of ramification.
There you go. I invite everybody, as you do. You want
Please
people
come.
To be there. You know, pass this on to people on the 30th, and we're working ways there so everybody can hear this thing. Rob, it's not easy, huh?
No, but I still love my job.
Well, and you know what? Let's just keep our feet moving and keep punching.
Yeah, thank you for everything you do.
And thanks so much for being with me today, Gary.
Thank you.
And
awesome.
For coming in today. It won't be the last time. We'll be back tomorrow. Trish Clark's going to be with me. Carlin DeBott, KCNR. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Dutch king and queen were among those attending a solemn ceremony today in the southern Dutch city of Eindhoven. Aircraft carrying bodies of victims of the downed Malaysia Airlines flight landed at a military base. Meanwhile, just 20 miles from the scene of the Malaysia Airlines wreckage, pro-Russian rebels have shot down two Ukrainian fighter jets. The BBC's David Stern is in Kiev.
Igor Strelkov, the rebels' commander, reportedly claimed credit for shooting down at least one of the aircraft. Ukrainian officials said the airplanes crashed near the Russian border, and one was a military jet. No information was available about how they were brought down or the number of people inside them.
The pro-Russian rebels claim one of the pilots was killed. Secretary of State John Kerry continuing his efforts to achieve a ceasefire between Israel and